Hello and welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kavit Hafwai. Scandal after scandal in the United States. The seizure of AP reporters' phone records by the Justice Department. The Internal Revenue Service's targeting of conservative groups. The third scandal, well, the Benghazi leaks is what mainstream media have reported. But in this debate, we're going to be covering different U.S. government actions that go against the U.S. Constitution as the third in a series of scandals and ask our guests whether these scandals are so threatening that it has political dangers, a point acknowledged even by the White House.
A very bad week for America's civil liberties. First came the Associated Press with the report that the Justice Department has seized phone records of 20 of its reporters and editors. The Attorney General Eric Holder claimed that the move was part of a probe into a breach of national security related to CIA overseas operations. AP described it as a massive and unprecedented intrusion and a serious breach of constitutional rights.
But to go after the Associated Press, which is one of our oldest news agencies, to send a signal which is very disturbing.
In the second incident, it was revealed that the Internal Revenue Service has decided about tax-exempt status of groups based on their political orientation and that most of the targeted groups have been conservatives. Both incidents created uproar in the U.S. political scene, with some lawmakers calling for a thorough investigation. But Washington's response to such accusations was mere defiance.
I make no apologies, and I don't think the American people would expect me as Commander-in-Chief not to be concerned about information that might compromise their missions.
Some even refused to claim responsibility.
Fact that I was not the person who was involved in that decision. Issue this subpoena was made by the people who are presently involved in the case. The matter is being supervised by the Deputy Attorney General.
What looks interesting is that the recent cases of intrusion into Americans' personal lives are nothing new. Back in 1960s, the FBI targeted left-wing and black nationalist groups. And in the wake of 9/11 attacks, the then U.S. administration began monitoring Muslim communities. It even passed the Patriot Act, which gave the government the right to spy on anyone for any reason. But what is new is that the trend has become unprecedented during the Obama administration.
Here, people are waking up to the fact that actually, on numerous civil liberties fronts, the drone strikes, whistleblower protections, state secrets, indefinite detention, denial of habeas corpus, and in this case, invasion of press freedoms, that actually Obama is outpacing the George W. Bush administration.
With the recent Pentagon-initiated change to the U.S. Code of Laws that would give military commanders powers equal to the president in extraordinary situations to quell unexpected civil disturbances, it seems that the U.S. has taken one more step forward to becoming a full police state where power is more or less in the hands of military generals rather than political leaders.
Let's bring in our guests and see what they think. Editor of Culture Wars Online magazine, E. Michael Jones, joins us from Indiana. We also have senior fellow at the Congressional Defense Policy Advisor, Frederick Peterson, who joins us from Richmond. Gentlemen, welcome. E. Michael Jones, first to you. Scandal number one, your reaction, the seizure of AP reporters' phone records.
Well, it's a violation of the First Amendment. First Amendment guarantees freedom of the press. Government has violated that. What you're seeing across the board here is the reaction of the government to its own perceived loss of legitimacy among its own citizens. This calls for greater crackdown, and when we engage in what is what we call a vicious circle, the more the crackdown, the more you lose legitimacy, the more you lose legitimacy, the more you have to crack down, and so on and so forth. And you spiral out of control into a situation where the government has lost the trust of the people.
Well, also in this case, there's another trust that's being lost, the case of Associated Press, and that's the contacts that they have. That has been one of the major criticism that has come from AP. The Justice Department must surely have taken that into account, would you think, when they went and they seized 2 months' worth of phone records?
They take it into account and then they discount it. The main problem that America has always had is the problem of legitimacy. This was a new experiment. This was a new idea in government. So the question is, if you don't have a king, you don't have an established religion, You don't have an ethnically homogeneous people. What is the basis for legitimacy? And that has always been the answer to that has always been the rule of law. So when you undermine the rule of law in America, that's the only thing that we have here is the course of legitimacy. And so you end up with a situation of mistrust where people feel that the government is basically an instrument of a certain group of people and not representative of all the people of the United States.
Well, let's look at another example that just happened today. U.S. federal judge just ruled that law enforcement officials can track cell phones without a search warrant. I mean, this is getting a bit repetitive, isn't it? I mean, this type of spying just becoming commonplace. You would think about some of the most precious freedoms that the U.S. is preaching. Whatever happened to the First Amendment right to free speech?
Well, what I'd like to know is why is a cell phone conversation different than a phone conversation over a wire? Why should the law be applied differently in one case and not in the other? I think what you're seeing here is the use of a technological innovation as a way of introducing a legal innovation. But again, I think the main issue here is the judiciary an independent branch of the government? Or is the legislature, executive, and judicial branches all in cahoots together, enforcing the will of an elite, an unnamed, invisible elite upon the people of the United States without regard to the rule of law?
Well, why don't you answer that question if you can, E. Michael Jones? Is the judiciary an extension of the government?
I think, yeah, you're right. It was a tendentious kind of rhetorical question, but I think the answer is yes. I think that what you're seeing here is that the Achilles heel that's always been there in America, namely that all of this talk about democracy is really a charade for private interests, is becoming more and more apparent. And this is devastating to a country that only has, as I said, the tradition of law as the basis of its legitimacy. There's no tradition of France, the king, France, the church, France, the people, and so on, French-speaking people. It is Americans who come from all over the world because they are attracted by the rule of law and equality before the law. And when you take that away, there's nothing left.
All right, let's move on to scandal number two. Get a reaction on this one. The Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, I don't know if you like the IRS or not, to have targeted conservative groups, including the Tea Party, as far back as 2010, subjecting them to unfair scrutiny based on their political views. Your reaction?
Well, again, you're seeing the instrumentalization of the government for the interest of a certain group of people. Now, who these people are at this point, I suppose it sounds like Democrats to me. But I mean, what this means, in effect, is that the party that gets into power can use the government, the instrument of the government to pursue its political ends. I have a tax-exempt status. Culture Wars magazine has tax-exempt status. We've had it for over 30 years now. And at the time, the only reason we came into existence was because the views that we wanted to express were not being expressed by the mainstream media. We needed a new voice here and a new instrument, and we were granted tax-exempt status with no problem whatsoever. So this just shows you how things have changed in a relative short period of time, 30 years.
Well, let's experiment here with a merger. I'm going to merge scandal number one, the AP one, with scandal number two. Well, we call it a scandal, and that was about the federal judge ruling that law enforcement officials can track cell phones. And ask you, E. Michael Jones, can the IRS actually collect phone records and tap into emails without a warrant?
Well, who's the government? I mean, the government, I suppose, it means anybody in the government. Usually when you talk about the government, you think of something like Homeland Security in the interest of some type of campaign to combat terrorism. But again, the legitimacy of that is being eroded as well, especially Homeland Security, which is becoming more and more obviously a Jewish organization that carries out Jewish ends and enforces them on the American people. So once this happens, once the government is seen as an instrument of political interest, a specific political interest, it loses its legitimacy. So yeah, I suppose that the IRS could tap your phone. I guess I don't see any limitation. The IRS is certainly part of the government.
Well, the effect this has had on Americans, maybe it's a little too early, but according to some sources, Americans pretty much depending on, of course, the percentage, but majority are distrustful of the IRS, which is a very powerful government agency. Are there any possibility of Americans actually rebelling to what has happened based on the amount of at least media coverage that this has gotten and, of course, the consequences behind what the IRS has done?
The most recent rebellion was the Occupy Wall Street movement. And what we learned in recent history was that the FBI got involved immediately in trying to destroy what was obviously a peaceful movement. The FBI went to Wall Street firms and collaborated with them in the destruction of this movement. The problem with Occupy Wall Street was that it lacked focus. So in a sense, it was ready. It was kind of doomed from the start because they couldn't really articulate what they wanted to do. But in the aftermath of what this was, we see once again that when the government acts, it acts in the interest of a certain group of people. And the certain group of people always turns out to be the same group, namely the rich and the powerful, at the expense of the general people. The biggest crisis at the beginning of this country was the conflict between debtors and creditors. They do not share the same interest. It was a crisis over what kind of money we were going to have and so on and so forth. We are back at square one because Occupy Wall Street was a crisis. It was a conflict between debtors, namely people who are burdened with student loans, and creditors, namely the banks who own those loans. And now the government has compromised its legitimacy by sending its agents, namely the FBI, in to work on behalf of the creditors against the great majority of the American people. All of this erodes legitimacy.
And that's very dangerous. In this case, the point with the IRS targeting certain political groups only because of their political views. Now, it is said, unless Barack Obama is a great actor, that his biggest concern is if outside of this, it proves that the idea to scrutinize conservative groups was not actually within the IRS, but it came from orders from outside. Is that a possibility, do you think?
Outside of what?
Outside of the IRS.
Well, who else would do it? I mean, the IRS, what do they? They're just bean counters. They're just people that crunch numbers. Somebody is obviously influencing them, and obviously the Tea Party. I'm no supporter of the Tea Party, but they're obviously on the right wing of the American political spectrum. So who else would orchestrate it but someone on the left wing of the political spectrum, namely the Obama administration? What you see here is, I think, the another instance of the shortcoming of the American political system. Everyone knows that Obama was elected in reaction to the excesses of the George W. Bush administration. Those excesses included the war in Iraq, Guantanamo, all of the orchestration of this campaign against terrorism that was going to go on without end. Obama was elected in reaction to that. And now it turns out he's pursuing even more avidly and more devoutly the same policies that he had repudiated in order to get elected. So what you see here is, well, who's running the government then? Who's running this? I thought we chose this man because we wanted to kick all the Republicans out of office. Well, now it turns out that the new boss is the same as the old boss, which means, well, who is the real boss then? Who is the real boss? This is the question that is always being raised when crises like this come up. And unless the government addresses it, it's going to continue to lose legitimacy.
Well, you mentioned a point prior, E. Michael Jones, and that was about the Jewish influence regarding, I think you said, matters of Department of Homeland Security. Can you expand on that more, how that's influenced?
All of the grants, the overwhelming majority of the grants that are handed out by Homeland Security go to Israel and Israeli companies. Michael Chertoff was the head of Homeland Security. He has a company which now sells scanners at airports that scan people and make sure. These people now, first of all, it's a certain group of people, which to use the historical analogy, the Jews have always been brought in by regimes to enforce orthodoxy. This was true of East Germany, where Marcus Wolf ran the Stasi. It was true of the Soviet union, the Cheka was a Jewish organization, and that was their secret police. Well, it turns out that our secret police is being run by Jews as well, because Jews do not identify with the common good. They don't have any understanding of what the common good is. And so they identify with their own narrow ethnocentric interests, and they're always therefore willing to attack the majority, to impose, to subjugate the majority to a minority under police control. So I think what you're seeing in Homeland Security is a replay of the Cheka under the Soviet Union.
Interesting. I'd like to refer to a poll that was done. This is back in January of 2013 by Pew Research Center. Trust in the federal government remains near a historic low. Frustration with government remains high. And for the first time, a majority of the public says that the federal government threatens their personal rights and freedoms. And again, that was in January of 2013. Now, with these scandals and the attention that they're getting, what kind of effect is that going to have? We mentioned in terms of a backlash coming from Americans in form of a rebellion. You talked about Occupy. Are we going to see them pour out into the streets again? Or what form is this going to take?
No one knows at this point. Because Occupy, I think, as I said before, it was certainly grassroots. It was certainly spontaneous. No one, there was no, like in the 60s when there would be communist control of certain demonstrations. This was clearly not the case. It was totally disorganized. And as a result, it couldn't function very properly. I think the net result you see is, what I'm trying to say here is that Occupy Wall Street is a sign of health. That the public is still willing to assert its rights in some way or another. The net result, I think, is going to be less and less participation in the democratic process. And what you'll see is fewer and fewer people showing up for elections, to the point where the elections now will start to lack legitimacy. Now, when the United States goes into places like Bosnia to show them how to be a democracy, like the great example of the United States, they are very aware of the fact that if the participation in the elections is below a certain percentage, the elections lack legitimacy. That is going to be precisely the case here in America, even if no one talks about it. That's going to be
very
the unspoken problem here.
Very well. We have managed to have Frederick Peterson join us, senior fellow of the Congressional Defense Policy Advisor, gladly joins us now. Frederick Peterson, legitimacy of the American government in terms of elections was the last statements there by our guest. There's two scandals there. I'd like to get your reaction on these two scandals that have been getting so much attention, not to mention the third one, which is the Benghazi leaks.
Well, yes, there are at least three, perhaps four or more scandals that are brewing right now that appears to be a perfect storm. And it is questionable as to whether this administration will be able to sustain itself, given that its own coalition is starting to question their primary premises, and that is the legitimacy of their own government. This is very disturbing. It's questionable in the court cases as to whether they will sustain themselves on a review by higher courts. I personally think that they cannot. I know that they should not. But the question is, where are we headed? We're certainly churning through some very troubled waters, and it does not appear that there is a flat water ahead. It appears only that we are going to get deeper and deeper mired unless there is a legitimate attempt on the part of government. By government, I don't necessarily
right.
mean the administration.
I am so sorry. I got to jump in here. Even though we had you late in the program, unfortunately, we're fresh out of time. I'm
yes,
sorry.
Sir.
Frederick Peterson there from Richmond, talking to a senior fellow Congressional Defense Policy Advisor. I'd also like to thank E. Michael Jones. Thank you very much, editor of Culture Wars Online magazine. From Mikhail Tavlin, the entire team here in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.